Amen. I appreciate that. Proverbs chapter 22 is where we're going to be tonight. Proverbs chapter 22. You know, anytime we have any sort of an awards service or things where my kids get awards, I'm reminded of my childhood. And I sit in the pew and I laugh and I have to control myself. I'll explain why. When I was a kid, I took piano lessons for about 9 years. Don't ask me to play anything today. And if you do, I have one song. And I can convince you that I'm really, really good on that one song. Other than that, I've got nothing. But anyway, as I took piano lessons, those of you with children who take lessons, you realize that every so often they have what is called a recital. And, you know, you go and you sit through this thing, and it's usually pretty boring from the people doing it, but the kids are really, really nervous. And, you know, they do a good job, and it's nice, and it's cute, and I get it. They have to be able to learn how to play in front of people. It's necessary. That's how it goes. Well, I'd been taking lessons for, several years. And we had a recital, and it was at our church. Dad was the pastor, and, you know, it was just on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon. I don't remember what. This has nothing to do with my message, by the way. And so, you know, the way that they put you in order is basically how long you had been taking lessons. So if you'd been taking the longest, you were at the end. If you'd just started, you were at the beginning. Anyway, I had been taking them longer than most of the kids at the recital. I was a little bit older. I was probably early junior high at the time. And for whatever reason, you know, we're going through and the kid finished playing their song, and it didn't matter if they played it masterfully or if they totally butchered it. You know, at the end, everybody, you know, whatever. And it was fine, and everybody clapped. And I was nervous like all the kids were, and I get up there and I played my piece, and I don't remember if I did it great. I don't remember if I butchered it. But I remember when I got down, you know, expecting to hear the applause, and from the back of the room I hear, "Bravo! Bravo!" And it was my dad. And I remember, I'm like, "Dad, are you kidding me?" My face, it probably was already red from, you know, being up there and being nervous. My face probably turned purple at this point in time. And it was just, I was so embarrassed. I can't even begin to describe to you. And so anyway, whenever my kids' names are called, I laugh at that, and it's funny because I understand now. I have to fight everything in me not to yell out, "Bravo!" Anyway, that's just a funny story. And so now whenever your kid's name's called, you can laugh with me never mind. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 22. We'll look there in a minute. I'm going to start out tonight giving you a couple scenarios. Hopefully you can think with me tonight. If I go to Outback, or if you go to Outback, or pick your favorite steak restaurant, all right? If we go to, let's just say it's Outback, and we order our steak, in my case, I'm going to order it medium rare, and I'm going to get a baked potato. Okay, that's what I'm going to order when I go to Outback. And if they come back and they bring me my steak, you know, we wait a few minutes later, they bring my steak, and it's crispy, well done, and I've got French fries, what am I going to do? What would you do? "Yeah, excuse me, this isn't what I ordered. This is wrong. Can I get it fixed, please?" "Sure, no problem, okay?" If I buy a shirt, okay, if I go to Van Heusen or JCPenney or you name it, okay, if I go buy a dress shirt that I want to wear on Sunday morning when I'm up here leading singing, and the shirt looks like Brother Aaron's after the Sunday school contest video the first week, you've got a big hole in it. If I bring that shirt home and realize this shirt has a hole in it, what am I going to do? I'm going to take it back. "Hey, you guys messed up when you made this. There's a hole in it. I need you to fix it so I can wear it." Okay, I think you're starting to get the picture, but let me keep going just in case, all right? If I go to the store and I buy a brand new Lazy Boy recliner, boy, that would be nice. I remember when I got my first recliner, but anyway, that's for another time. We all love our recliners, but we go and we've got this brand new Lazy Boy and we get it in our house and we're just anticipating the moment when we can just collapse into this, you know, pocket of cottony refreshment, whatever. And we go to sit, and the thing just crumbles as we sit in it. Something's wrong. They messed this up. This chair is not supposed to do this. I need to get this fixed. And we take it back, and rightfully so. If I drive out of the dealership, the Chevrolet dealership, in my brand new 2013 turbocharged Chevy Camaro with you name it, And the bright green one, by the way. I want the bright green one with the black racing stripes. And that's the one I've got. And I'm driving away from the dealership and I get on 465 and I hit the cruise control. I mean, I'm talking, this car has 7 miles on it. I've driven it from the dealership, and I hit cruise control, and my cruise control doesn't work. What am I going to do? I'm going to take it back. Hey, I need to use my warranty. This thing's broke. You know, something messed up when they were making it. It's broke. I need to get it fixed. We realize that things in life, everything is the product of a process, okay? With my steak, it comes out medium well. I wanted it medium rare. What happened? Somewhere back in the kitchen during the process, something went wrong. Something got messed up. All these scenarios, that's why. And our natural response, our normal response is, hey, can I get this fixed? Okay, this isn't right. Something was wrong with the process and my product is faulty. Can I get it fixed? I'd like my product to be how I ordered it, how I want it. We understand that the person or the persons, people, responsible for the breakdown in the process ought to be responsible for fixing it. Okay, are we together? Everything is the product of a process. Okay, we need to get a hold of this because we're going to get it tonight. There is a process, if done correctly, leads to a good product. If there's something wrong with the process, there'll be something wrong with the product. Pretty simple concept, all right? Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and we're going to work our way through this tonight. No need to stand. We're just going to read one verse and going to quickly get into the message. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Okay, look at that again. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Okay, that's going to be the process. Okay, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's the product, all right? God's plan, the process, train up a child in the way he should go, and the product is when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, here's my question tonight, and chew on this, okay? And it's not deep, but it's something that we're not going to like. Why is it that when it comes to my steak at Outback, I get it that they messed it up, they need to fix it? But why is it that when it comes to our children and raising our children, when we don't like what we see as the product, why is it that we say, I just don't know what went wrong? Everything's the product of a process, okay? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Yet so many times our kids get to teenagers, or you name the age, when we begin to realize, you know, I want my kids to turn out right, but I'm looking at them and it's just not what I always envisioned as the perfect child, is what I want my child to be as a godly Christian young person. And can I say tonight that if you find yourself taking inventory of your own children and where it's at, and by the way, this goes with anything in our life. Okay, I'm going to preach tonight about children and raising children. And I'm no authority, but we're going to be preaching the Word of God tonight. But this can go for any area of our life, okay? Even if we don't have kids, okay? One day you'll have kids, take note. But everything in life is the product of a process. So take the biblical principles, let the Holy Spirit work in your life. But we understand that if the steak's cooked wrong, something's messed up, it needs to get fixed because that's what I'm looking for. But when it comes to our kids, so often they get to be teenagers and we look and say, man, I'm not liking what the product is here. But we say, I have no idea how this happened. Well, how it happened is the process, something was wrong. If you don't like the product, you have to fix the process. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you don't like the product, you have to fix the process. Father, I pray that as we look into your word tonight, Lord, that you would make it very clear. And Father, you've laid out such clear instructions for raising children. And Lord, you are the perfect example of what a parent should be as our Heavenly Father. Lord, and we're your children. And we can look to you. And Lord, you're always there. You're faithful. But you're just. And Lord, I pray that tonight as we look to your word that we can take away, Lord, maybe any suppositions that we might have of what we think it means to be good parents. But Lord, realize from the Word of God that you have a plan and that plan works. Lord, work in our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. There in our text, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. That word train, What does that mean? I think we know it for the most part, but I looked it up in the dictionary. Okay, the word train, it means to teach a particular type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. Okay, listen to that again. To train means to teach a particular type of behavior, depending on what you're wanting to train them or teach them, to teach a particular type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. Sounds like a pretty good definition to me. Gonna take you back to English class here, but do you remember what synonyms are? Synonyms? I remember that there was synonyms and antonyms and homonyms, but for the life of me, I cannot remember what a homonym was. But anyway, a synonym is something that is the same. Words that mean the same as another word. Okay, so what are some synonyms? What are some synonyms or similar words to the word train? Well, you have to teach, or instruct is another one, to coach, to tutor. I like this next one, to ground, to educate, to drill, indoctrinate. These are similar words, synonyms, for this idea of train or training something. The Bible says train up a child, teach him a particular type of behavior. Well, what kind of behavior are we talking about? Well, we'll get to that. But train them, teach them a particular type of behavior through practice, through instruction over a period of time. I think that definition really very well describes parenting and our responsibility of training our children. So just going to look at these three things real quick and finish up tonight. But number one, we teach our children a particular type of behavior. All right, the Bible says there, train up a child what? In the way he should go. Proverbs 22:6. Well, what is the way he should go? Well, this is the Word of God, and so, you know, the principles that are found in God's Word. Another place, go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and we're going to look at this, and then hold your finger there, because we're going to be back in a minute. Okay, we're going to kind of work through this a little bit at a time. Bible says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. What is the way he should go? Okay, here's another passage that will help shed a little bit of light on that one. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Okay? Bring them up in the ways of the Lord. To be not just a good person, to be a good Christian. Okay, bring them up in the ways of the Lord, the things that God has laid out. Hold your finger there in Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. And I want you to go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. All right. We're talking about teaching them a particular type of behavior. Okay, I can teach, you know, your kids, they get old enough, we teach them to walk. Okay, that's a type of behavior. Some children learn to play the piano. That's a, I guess you could call it a particular type of behavior, not like behaving good or badly, but something that they have to, it has to be learned. We can train them in that. Tonight, I think that it's very important that we realize that as parents, it's our responsibility to train our children to be godly. Not just to be good people, not just to have character, but train them to be good Christians. Look in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7. And this is, by the way, thinking of an example. Okay, God is our Heavenly Father. What better example for us as parents to follow with our children as looking to God and how He deals with His children and how He tells His children to behave themselves, all right? Look at verse number 7. This is God speaking to Joshua, and He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. He says, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He's speaking about the law, the commandments, so the Old Testament law that was given to Moses. God tells Joshua, you need to keep these things. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We can apply this to our lives tonight as Christians. How can I be the Christian that God wants me to be? How can I do that? You know, we may not understand what we look here. Here's an example from Joshua chapter 1. He tells him, this book of the law, God's Word, it'll not depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. And then it says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written in there. Follow the guidelines that God set up as far as what we, how we as Christians ought to behave. And then when we follow those things, the end of the verse says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Very, very succinct, simple definition of how we can be successful and be good Christians. In other words, learn the Word of God, learn what it says to us, but then do it and follow it. Okay? Very simply, God is our Heavenly Father. That's what He expects out of His children, for us to understand what He tells us to do and then to do it. So, as parents, and I touched on this a minute ago, it's our responsibility to train our children not just to be good people. And I think we should. You know, we want to train our kids and teach our kids to work hard and to have character. You know, and teach them. We tell our boys all the time, hey, when you guys get in trouble out in public, when you, you know, backtalk your teachers, I said, you don't only, you know, give yourself a bad name, but we're Hightowers, and what you do reflects on me. And I'm teaching them that they need to have a good name for their sake, and what they do affects others, and all these things about being a good person, and working hard, and having character, being respectful to adults and to authority, and all these things that are just things that we need if we're going to be successful in life. You know, if you're not respectful to your boss at work, it's not going to be a good day, and you're not going to be at that workplace very long. You know, things that we need in life. But something that's a really, really big problem in fundamental Christianity, in independent Baptist church circles, and it's becoming more and more this way, is that we're real good about teaching our kids how to be good people, and how to be good citizens, and how to be patriotic and loyal to America. But we're really lousy at teaching them how to be Christians and how to be godly. We're raising good kids, but we're not raising godly kids. Discipline. It takes discipline. Some things as parents, and we know this, we know we need to discipline our kids, and we do. We all discipline our kids, some more than others. But hey, you're the parents, and we're accountable for the way we do it. I just want to give you some things tonight. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6 if you would. Hopefully your finger's still there. Ephesians chapter 6. All right? Talking just for a minute, and I'm not going to park long on this, but the idea of discipline and disciplining our children. Okay, discipline is important. Okay, we understand that in every area of life. If there's not discipline, if there's not consequences for wrong actions, then stuff happens. I mean, our government was founded upon that. We have to have laws for a reason. You know, we have to obey the stop signs and the stop lights. If we don't, chaos ensues. I mean, there is discipline, there is order for a reason. God created it that way, and our children ought to be no different. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, and again, a familiar passage, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay? That has the idea, and again, as we'll look to the scripture of when, as God's children, when we disobey God, there are consequences with that. God expects us as parents, when our children disobey us, to discipline them. And we're not going to go into the methods tonight. Again, we're moving quickly. I realize that we had a ward ceremony, but I want to give you something from the Word of God, okay? Just two things real quick on discipline. Okay, children, obey your parents. As parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that our children, that their behavior is appropriate, that we are disciplining them when they have wrong behavior. All right, and we all agree with this, and this is something that I think lots and lots of people do. And you know, the kid messes up, you know, you say, hey, go clean your room. They don't go clean the room. There's discipline. Whether it's grounding or spankings, whatever the case may be, whatever your situation, your scenario is, for whatever age your kids are, there's discipline. We have to discipline the behavior. That's our job as parents. That's part of training them. Instilling in them this idea that they have to act a certain way, and we're going to get to a little bit more than this in a minute. But not only do we discipline behavior, but I think this is key, and I think this is where lots of parents are lacking, and it's very difficult to do. It's not only should we discipline behavior, but I believe from the Word of God that we ought to discipline their attitude. Discipline them for their attitude. You know, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, but then it says, honor thy father and thy mother. You know, it's real easy as parents, because I got two knuckleheads. Being a parent is hard. Okay, I will be the first to admit that, and I will be the first to admit I'm not the parent I ought to be. All right, there's some kinks in my process that I have to get straightened out. But we look at this and we realize that God expects me to discipline them for their, not just their behavior, for their attitude. And if we don't, we're going to have kids that when they grow up, I mean, they can't follow any orders that they don't like without having a bad attitude about it. And that's not a good thing at all. I mean, you can get yourself in real trouble for that. But you know what? When kids mouth off and backtalk mom and dad, and something that Christy and I from the beginning have tried to nip in the bud early. You know what? Our kids can do some things that disappoint us, and they will be punished. But can I tell you, there's a few things that instantly we do not tolerate. We do not tolerate bad attitudes. We don't. We can't. And if, I mean, our kids learned early, you know, kids want to throw fits. They just do. You see that kid in the grocery store, you know, that kid. You know, okay? We thought, we don't want that kid. And so we taught our boys when they were little not to throw fits. But it's been funny as they've grown, we've seen the stages because they know their limits. They know what we won't let them do. And, you know, early on with Tyler, he knew he wasn't allowed to cry and scream and throw a fit. So we would tell him something and he wouldn't like it. You know, he wouldn't scream, he wouldn't say a word, but he would just... That wasn't going to fly. Why? Because even though the actions of the screaming and the kicking weren't there and that rebellious spirit, that attitude was there. He was not honoring. And it's important that we were to catch that. So we took care of that, you know, and it moves further. You know they can't cry. They know they can't scream and throw a fit. They know they can't drop to their knees. But you can see in their eyes. You know, as parents, you know when your kid has a bad attitude. You can see it in their eyes. But can I tell you, we have to discipline attitude. Back in the Old Testament, Exodus, you don't have to look there. But there in Ephesians 6, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. All right? And he's referring back to the Ten Commandments when God gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 20, and where is it at? Verse number 12. Okay, the commandment is this, honor thy father and thy mother. By the way, in the Old Testament, there was nothing about children obey your parents. That was just kind of assumed. Honor thy father and thy... If you're honoring them, honoring their wishes, be also honoring them in their attitude. But then here's the promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God says we have to discipline behavior, but also discipline attitude. So important. So important. So, number one, we teach them a particular type of behavior, the things in the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Number two, we teach them through practice and instruction. Teach them through practice and instruction. All right, what we do and what we say, it's important. There in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All right? There are two ways to teach. If we're going to teach our children or teach in a school, teach Sunday school, whatever, there are two ways to teach, all right? There is instructing them verbally, telling them, and then there's showing them with examples and actually showing them what to do. Now, this verse here, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, those words nurture and admonition has the idea of again, training them and teaching them and educating them in what they should do. And you know, there's discipline involved with that. Both of those words, you look back in the original Greek, and you can see that it has that idea of discipline going along with that. But they also both are they're similar, but they're a little different. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That word admonition, while it means very similar to nurturing, it's also the idea of the instructing them, the telling them. What I'm verbally giving them, okay, that idea, admonishing them in those things, but that word nurture, meaning the same thing, but it carries with it the idea of teaching them through actions, through what I'm doing, the process of showing them, okay? So teaching our children about a particular type of behavior, we talked about that, but through practice and instruction. excuse me. And you need both to be successful, by the way. You need to be able to tell them, but also show them. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, quickly. Understanding this, God has placed us as parents. He's placed us in the role of authority for our children. Romans 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." All right? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay, there is authority, structure that's set up in our life, and God has placed that there. It says there is no power but of God. Understand, parents, that we are the authority for our children. God has placed us in that role of the authority. Okay? Are we supposed to befriend our children? Are we supposed to enjoy their time and have fun with them? Yes. But not at the expense of being the authority. Okay? Our children don't need us to be their friend. Our children need us to be their parent. Because when we're not the parent and we're the friend, there's no authority, and that's a problem. And you realize, as the authority, okay, understanding that we teach them through what we do and what we say, realizing that what we do speaks a whole lot louder than what we say. Let me illustrate this. Mark's going to help me out over here at the piano, all right? And if Mark's pulling my leg, he's going to ruin my illustration. Okay? I took piano lessons for 9 years. I don't know much. I mentioned that. But the very first thing that I learned, I don't know if your piano teacher did this and Miss Becky might shoot me, but the very first thing I learned when I sat down to take piano lessons the very first day was where on the piano is middle C. It's just like it's in the middle. It's the foundation, and all the notes have names, okay? You might knew that, you might didn't. They do, but where they start us out, the very beginning was middle C. And so I remember sitting down, you know, my piano teacher, all right, this is middle C, it's in the middle, and she went and she showed me where it was. And, you know, and then I played some songs, you know, that involved middle C. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, yeah, I'm playing the piano. All right? Now, Mark, I'm going to teach you about middle C. All right? Can you handle that? All right. And all those things I just said, kind of what she taught me is middle C. All right? So now I've taught you about middle C, about what it is. Okay? Here's middle C. Play that for me. Okay? Now, does anybody, you probably don't get this because you're not here and you're not looking at it. If you know anything about music and you were up here watching me, you'd think, whoa, 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 there's a problem. What's the problem? That's not middle C. See, I told him about middle C. Try to find middle C. Nope. But I told you about it. I told you what to do, right? Yeah. What's the problem? When I showed him middle C to play that note right there, what did he do? He didn't do what I said because he didn't know. He did what I did. Thanks, man. You can have a seat. Here's the thing. As parents, we're the authority. And we tell our kids what we want them to do. But can I tell you? They hear what we say, but they watch and do what we do. What we do speaks much louder than what we say. Let me give you some examples here, all right? This is what we tell our kids. Kids, it's important that we go to church when the doors are open. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival service. We're going to be there. It's important. But our actions speak louder than our words. Those are our words. These are our actions. Hey, but it's okay to miss if we're tired. It's okay to miss if the Pacers playoff game's on TV, or there's homework, or there's a school play, or there's a little league game, or I want to go to the lake or go hunting. Really, it's important to go to church, but only when it's convenient. What we do speaks louder than what we say. Here's another one. Hey, kids, we got to be good stewards of what God's blessed us with. You know, God's given us this. God's given you money, and you need to tithe to Him, and you need to do all this. By the way, this isn't a tithing explanation, so you can take the fences down. All right, we're good. But kids, it's important that we're good stewards of what God's blessed us with. Okay, that's what we say. But then they look at our lives and they hear this. But sorry, we can't send you to summer camp this year because we're in debt up to our eyeballs. Maybe next year. What we do speaks louder than what we say. come home from a school play or come from home from a ball game, oh man, you guys did so good. I'm so proud of you. And by the way, we ought to say that as parents. But the problem is that this is what they catch, and this goes along with the next one. I'm proud of you for what you did in the ball game, but this is what they catch. That was the greatest single accomplishment of your entire life! Okay. But they come home from youth rally. They come from church. They come from youth, and they've made a decision. And you say, oh, that's great. Oh, I'm so proud of you. But what we really mean is, but just don't make me feel guilty because I'm not as spiritual as you want to be. And if you keep it up, I just might make you feel like a moron. What we do speaks louder than what we say. You see, I don't know if I like that very much, Brother Jeremiah. I can't even say I'm sorry. It's the Word of God. It's understanding that your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you catch all that? Basically, it's what we do is louder than what we say. So we have all this. We're trying to train our kids to be the kind of Christians that we think they ought to be, that we want them to be. And we say, kids, no matter what, always do right. That's what we tell them. But they look at our lives and they hear, kids always do right. But what they see is, but for the most part, I'm going to do what I want because it's convenient. And we wonder why our kids don't turn out right. Everything is the product of a process. The Bible says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's what we say, what we do. But why not reinforce what we say with what we do? Okay, and that illustration made the point. Okay, but what if they were to hear, hey kids, it's important that we're in church when the doors are open. But then our actions are screaming back at them, and it doesn't matter if there's a ball game because church is more important than the ball game. You don't have to say that to them, but by you being in church instead of the ball game, that's what you're screaming to them. You don't have to yell at your kids to get them to get it. They pick up on this stuff. They're smarter than we give them credit for. Reinforce what you say with what you'll do, with what you do, and you will be amazed. Amazed. And imagine that. It's the Bible. It's God's plan. You know, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, our text. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And then lastly, number three, not only do we teach them a particular type of behavior through practice and instruction, but we teach them over a period of time. You realize that God has entrusted those of us who have children, we only have 18 short years, typically 18 short years, to invest, to teach, to train, to prepare them to be out on their own. I mean, that's scary. I've got a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I'm thinking, oh my. And then as I was thinking about this, okay, I've got until they're 18. Tyler's 7.5. I've already, a third of it's in the rearview mirror. If you've got kids who are 7 and older, you've got less than 2/3 of your time with them. You say, I know, me too. Every second counts. And parenting doesn't happen overnight. Parenting doesn't happen quickly. Parenting happens over a period of time. And can I tell you, one of the biggest things that you can do as a parent to help your kids is over time, be consistent. Be consistent. It speaks the loudest to your kids because it's what you do. It's not what you say. It's being, living, consistent, Christianity. You know, just quickly, a few things on consistency. How can I be, as parents, be consistent? Number one, communicate with your spouse so that together as a unit that God has intended you to be to raise these kids, because it's hard enough to raise them as two, let alone one, with your spouse, communicate. Don't let your kids go behind your back to your spouse. I told you earlier that one thing we will not tolerate with our kids is attitude. We also won't tolerate hey, Dad, can I do this? No. Hey, Mom, is it okay if we do this? It doesn't matter what it is. It can be the thing of the least significance you can imagine. If they do that, instantly they're in trouble. Why? Because we got to be consistent. Got to be together. You know, but not only communicate, but be clear in your expectations. You know, let your kids know what you expect of them. That is, as an employee of Lighthouse Baptist Church and pastor as my boss, that is one thing that I appreciate about him as much, if not the most of anything at all, is that I know what he expects of me. I do. I know what he expects of me, and I know that if I don't meet those expectations, I'm going to hear about it. What is it? You say, oh, you might get in trouble. That makes me do my job better. You know, knowing the expectations and knowing that there'll be some consequences if I don't do what I've been paid to do. That's the way it works. But I know the expectations, so then I can carry them out. With your kids, you'll help yourselves out a lot if your kids know the expectations. If they know that when you say do it, you mean do it. They'll know that when you say don't do it, you mean don't do it. And that's the next thing. It kind of goes right together. Mean what you say. You know, it's drives me crazy, but it's also it's not right. You know, you hear parents, and this will be a little extreme, possibly, maybe not, but Johnny, come here. Johnny, I said, come here, Johnny. Johnny, don't make me get up and come over there. Johnny, come here. Johnny, don't make me count. Johnny, one. Two, one, Johnny, did you not hear me? I said one, two, three, Johnny, all right, I'm coming over there, Johnny, you're going to regret this, Johnny. Jonathan Theodore! You know, and the kid comes. What have you done? By not meaning what you say, Johnny, come here, and it's not a come here or this, they ought to know if it's come here and they don't, it's this, all right? And so, what have you done? You've just trained your children, by the way. You've trained them that you really don't mean come until you yell at them. That's what you've just told your kid. Because they hear what you say, but you don't start to, you know, come over and do something about it until you yell at them. And so you've just trained your kids, oh, I've got until they start raising their voice or start doing this or whatever it is, that's when I know I better mind or I'm in trouble. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier on ourselves if it was, hey, Johnny, come here. All right, I told you to come. You're in trouble. Save yourself a lot of headaches. It might be hard for the kids at first, might be hard for you at first. Because, by the way, being consistent as parents is probably what I find to be the hardest thing as a parent, is consistent day in and day out. And have you ever noticed this, that it's on the days that you're really not feeling like dealing with it that they push your buttons the most? Can I tell you, it's those days that matter the most? What are they doing? They're pushing you. They're seeing what they can get away with. But if we're going to be consistent parents, as just like God, our Heavenly Father, is consistent with us, He's very clear in His expectations of us. And we know if we're out of line, there are consequences and we are accountable for our actions. Our children must know, Mom and Dad, they mean what they say, or I'm going to feel it. You know, if they don't, Mom and Dad are going to apply the board of knowledge to the seat of learning. And I don't want that. So I'm going to obey. It's discipline. It's being consistent. It's so hard. And then lastly, show them you care. Show your kids you care. Tell them you love them. Spend time with them. Laugh. Fun. Family fun night, whatever you do. Go out. You know, it's not quality time that counts. It's also not quantity time that counts. It's quality, quantity time. That's what it's going to take. Because your children, as parents, we don't like to hear this, but they're little human beings who are one day going to grow up. But all right, they are human beings. What has God created in us as human beings? A desire for relationships, a desire to be loved, a desire to be accepted. We crave relationships. That's how God made us. And our children are exactly the same way. They crave relationships. And here's what happens is your kids crave a relationship with you. They crave time. They crave that laughter, that quality, quantity time with mom and dad. That relationship, because they know if mom and dad love me, everything is okay. But what happens is when we don't satisfy that craving for a relationship, that's what God's plan for the parent is in this particular area, is to satisfy that craving, that need that child has for a relationship. And mom and dad, if you are not satisfying their craving for a relationship, can I tell you, you better watch out because they're going to find it somewhere else. I just don't know what went wrong. Everything is the product of a process. And raising kids is a process. It is. You know, I cannot force Tyler and Kyle to turn out right. I cannot do it. If I did, if I could, I'd do it in a second. I cannot do that. But God's plan is the same as my plan. I want them to turn out right. Here's the good news. God's given us instructions on His parents. Follow the steps. And can I say this? They'll turn out right if we follow the steps. Look back our text one last time. Proverbs 22, verse 6. In light of what we've talked about tonight. Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's the process. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's the product. We know what the Bible says. So, step back. Take inventory of your children. Take inventory of your spiritual life as Christians. Is the product what I want it to be? Is the product what I always hoped it would be? If the product isn't right, there's a problem with the process. If the process is broken, can I tell you, you'd better fix the process before it's too late. Everything is the product of a process. Lord, we've looked in Your Word tonight. It's very clear on raising our children to be good kids, to discipline them. But Lord, to be godly kids and good Christians. And the way for that is You've given children parents. And God, I pray that as parents tonight, we would, where conviction is happening right now in this room, Lord, may we respond to the Holy Spirit of God working in our hearts.